The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, guys, question of the day, is America too big to fail? Plus, you're not going to believe this. My secret admirer, Sam Harris, is back. He made an appearance on the Lex Fridman podcast to, well, among other things, talk about me, of course. And he wants you to know that I'm not allowed to have an opinion, and neither are you, because we're not experts. And I don't know why that's so difficult for you guys to understand, that we should stop talking and we should stop listening, because we're not capable of doing that because we're not experts, and he and his friends are. Yeah. All that and more today coming up on Candace Owens. All right, so we have spent this week talking about the topic of narcissism. We first unpacked the Greek mythology behind the story of Narcissus, who obviously fell into the lake because he was so consumed with himself, he couldn't stop looking at himself. We unpacked cultural narcissism. We spoke about the Kardashian empire being built of lies, and tremendously lies that seem to bear no consequence. We then discussed the social environment that produces a narcissist. We talked about these children on campus that are storming the campuses because they don't want to hear people speak ideas that are not their own ideas, of course. Things that have happened this week at Stanford University. And we're going to discuss later in the show what is going on at UC Davis, which is very similar. I received a comment under one of these articles, and I want to read it because it was very interesting. A person, Cal69, wrote on YouTube, "Replace the story of narcissists' still pond with a smartphone in selfie position." Think about that. When we are holding up the smartphones, we do very much look like a narcissist, or in this case, the Greek mythological Narcissus. And we're just looking at ourselves at all times of the day, and we have kind of embodied this. And it does seem to me like we might be falling into the pond ourselves, that America is very seriously facing an international predicament, but nobody seems to either know or care because rah, 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 we're America, which brings me to the question of the day, which was, is America too big to fail? I think that's pretty much been our geopolitical strategy, since World War II, just sort of, we're America, and so therefore we can't fail, and everything that we say is true, it can't possibly be false. We're somehow more principled and more moral than everybody else, and the Western Hemisphere is the best hemisphere. This is where you should want to live. I think another way of describing this is international narcissism, right? If you live in another country and you don't live like us, well, we're going to drop some bombs and tell you why you should. We're going to install democracy. We've decided that we live the best. And even if other people say, we don't want you here, just wait, step aside, let us drop some bombs, and we'll show you why the way that we live is the best. And we're always going to be a world power, right? We're so great. And nobody ever cares when we get caught lying, even when we get caught lying flagrantly. Here is just one example. When we were caught, the CIA was caught at least, being willing to lie to go to war. We talked about this on the show a few weeks ago, Operation Northwoods, when JFK was president. And quite literally, the CIA came to him with a proposal and said, hey, what if we staged a terrorist attack in Florida and we killed some American civilians? And then we said, oh, actually, the Cubans did it. And then we went to war with Cuba because that's what we want, the Cold War. And we want to make sure that we're able to control Cuba. This is a great plan, killing our own citizens and pretending that somebody else did it. And then JFK said, no, that's immoral. I will not sign off on a plan to kill American citizens. And what happened to JFK? Well, he got killed. But don't be crazy. Don't be a conspiracy theorist. He really got killed. And they couldn't tell us really how or why. And they had to lock down the JFK files for 60 years. Generations could die off. I don't remember any details about that fateful day. And now they presented us with the document and they're releasing the files. And guess who did it? Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. I love Russia, Russia, Russia all the time. The Cold War hangover, people that grew up with the propaganda of the Cold War, always somehow believing in media when it's almost incalculable. No matter what happens, they blame Russia. even when America has a free and fair election and decides to elect President Donald Trump. What did they do? Well, Russia is the reason this happened. Russian collusion. They just started saying it. They started insisting upon it like mad people. Russia, 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 Russia. Rachel Maddow. We're getting close. We're going to get him. We're going to tell you exactly how Trump was colluding with Russia and why, how this could have possibly happened. Obviously, it couldn't have happened because Americans are fed up with what's going on. Obviously, Russia had to have been involved. And after 2 years and millions of taxpayer dollars spent, they determined, oh, no, actually, Russia, they didn't do it as a free and fair election. But who cares? Whatever. We can lie about Russia. We always blame Russia. We are currently lying about Russian aims for global domination, but nobody cares because they just like the narrative of Russia, I guess, taking over the world. They've never done that. We have. You're talking about a country that is interested in global domination. You'd have to take a look at America. You'd have to take a look at our European allies. You'd have to take a look at NATO and the NATO expansion. But don't worry, guys. It's the West, and we're the best. And so when we expand to other people's territories, it's totally fine. And if you don't think it's fine, you're not a patriot. It's totally patriotic for us to somehow have an imprint, a footprint all across the globe, for us to have boots on the ground all across the globe. It's totally fine for us to point our missiles at other countries. But for other, if another country does that, if another country shows that they're interested in a different region, that's scary, you guys. And so scary, you're going to have to agree to give billions of dollars so that we can stop that from happening, as is a circumstance in Ukraine. We're lying about what's happening in Ukraine. We've been lying since the very beginning. Obviously, they are lying. We didn't leave Afghanistan, where we lied repeatedly about how and why we were leaving, to jump into Ukraine all because we want to just help out, because we're terrified of Vladimir Putin in that region. No. Obviously, we didn't launch a color revolution in that region and help install Zelensky. That's what happened, obviously. We installed Zelensky in that region simply because we had no interest. There were real American interests in that region. There are also biolabs in that region, which they're all admitting that they lied about. Initially, they said, that is a non-truth. There's no biolabs. What is he saying? That's crazy. Now they're like, okay, no, we do have some biolabs in there, but we're not doing anything shady. We're not doing anything shady. We lie repeatedly. We keep lying repeatedly. A couple of days ago, something quite serious happened, in case you missed it. A United States drone crashed into the Black Sea after two Russian fighter jets ambushed it. They dumped fuel on it, and eventually they struck its propeller. Now, the Pentagon is obviously very upset about it. They have issued many statements against it, and they're saying that Russian, of course, they're provoking. It's a provocation, Russian provocation in that region. Their region, by the way, the Black Sea is their region. But they were provoking because these were international waters. Now, the Russian Defense Ministry claimed that the drone, our drone, was flying towards its airspace with its transponder turned off, and that the Russian fighter jets were dispatched to investigate. Their ambassador, the Russian ambassador, Anatoly Antonov, said this of the incident. He said, quote, "What would be the reaction of the United States if you see such a Russian drone very close to, for example, San Francisco or New York? For me, it's clear. For you as well." What would be the reaction if the Russians were sending drones near San Francisco and New York? What would be the reaction if Russians were sending drones near Florida or near Tennessee? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Have you ever asked yourself why we think it's perfectly acceptable for us to behave overseas as we would never allow people to behave here, ever? We would never allow that to happen, of course. Now, that's not a defense of Russia. It's common sense. But, of course, if you speak common sense, you are suddenly accused of defending Russia. If you are a person that believes in nationalism, believes that we should concern ourselves with American interests and be American first, America first, obviously, which is the reason why we elected Trump, realizing that we have tons of problems here at home that we need to solve. We don't need to be solving issues internationally. We don't need to be sending billions of dollars to Zelensky. Well, that, my friend, would make you a Russian asset, a Russian puppet. You start thinking common sense. So let's instead keep lying to ourselves. I think that's better. It feels better to lie to ourselves. Let's keep lying about the fact that right now we are in a managed, steep cultural, social decline. That's what's happening in the United States of America. Everything is a lie. And by the way, I want to make it clear, you don't lie when you are in a position of strength. You lie when you are in a position of weakness. So more lies. What do you guys think? I think we should keep lying. Let's keep printing money, right? Let's bail out SVB Bank. Let's just keep printing money. We're going to talk later about reparations and all the social issues. Let's keep encouraging our men to chop their dicks off. Do that. Please do that. It's going to be fine, guys. Let's make sure no kids are learning math, no kids are learning English, but they're learning about racial strife in the classroom. It's all going to be fine. It's going to be amazing because we're America. And like literally like what could like possibly like go wrong? Because like it's like America and like we're like a world power and like we're helping everybody. And like that's all I have to say about that. Your life is full of precious moments. Unfortunately, the moments that we've captured on tape, film, or photo can fade or degrade over time. I know many friends who have lost tapes and photos to floods, fires, or decay. If only there are a way to preserve these memories for generations to come. Legacy Box digitizes your old analog media so that you can easily access them via a secure link or thumb drive. It is the easiest and safest way to preserve those special moments. Just pack and send your tapes, film reels, and photos, and their team will send everything back in a digital file. Legacy Box does everything by hand here in the United States. They'll communicate the entire process to you every step of the way. I just sent off my own Legacy Box. I packed it with old photos and letters, and I'm awaiting the arrival of digital files. I can't wait to share these memories with family and friends around the world. Right now, Legacy Box is offering my listeners an incredible 50% off. So visit legacybox.com/Candace to take advantage of an exclusive discount. That's legacybox.com/Candace. Okay, now it's time for some topics du jour. Speaking of managed decline, we obviously need to continue discussing woke in corporate boardrooms. So that's what's taking place. Businesses now have gone woke and employees are not better for it. They're suffering because of it. So is the case for SVB Bank. We'll have more on that later. But I want to draw to your attention a man named Raymond Zunsky, who is a hero. He did the right thing in this scenario. And it's unimaginable what's happened to him because he refused to attend an LGBTQ training course back in 2018. Well, he has launched a lawsuit in which he has just lost for being fired for refusing to attend this mandatory LGBTQ training. And he was employed, by the way, for 7 years with the Board of Cooperative Educational Services, which is a public organization that was created by the New York State Legislature in 1948 to provide shared educational programs and services to school districts within the state. So 7 years of his hard work, and how is he rewarded? Well, the times have gone woke, and now we want you guys to attend a mandatory LGBTQ training course. And he said, actually, I would like to not do that because I'm a Christian. Also, because this is a nonsense. What happens in these courses? Well, it's essentially just brainwashing courses, telling you that you need to pretend that a bunch of different genders exist, that you need to be extra sensitive and using people's pronouns. This is taking place everywhere, all across America. Well, he took a stand. Unfortunately, he has lost his lawsuit, but I want you to hear from him in his own words. Take a listen.
I'm a Christian man, and I've never encountered any training sessions for Christian community. And I felt that because I believe in God's word and his teachings in the Bible, I treat everybody the same way. I love everybody the same way. And I respect others as I be respected. And then, but my beliefs is that, you know, this kind of teaching to me is against God.
He's absolutely right, of course. He later went on to say that it, quote, just seems like the country is against the Christian way of life and it's for everything else. We're not allowed to practice our way of life, but anyone else can, it seems. It doesn't seem that is the reality. And it is being reflected in the courts, in the traditional media, and the politicians, that if you're not crazy, it's because there's something wrong with you. If you're not crazy, if you don't think that you can be a non-binary fish person, then it's because there's something wrong with you. And you need to have this bias and this bigotry taught out of you. Bias and bigotry, what they mean is common sense and reality. You need to learn that it isn't so. And so this is what's taking place. You are seeing a time in which Christians are being treated poorly when they go to work. And I, again, think you're the right thing. I hope somebody launches a Give, Send, Go for him. And I would love to donate to it as well as promote it because this shouldn't have happened to him. This should be happening nowhere in the United States of America. Should we keep having to play pretend? And in case you don't understand how this happens, I have a person in my family that works in telemarketing, and they are also being forced to attend seminars. In one such seminar in this telemarketing firm, when they pick up the phone, they're being taught that you shouldn't assume a gender. So even if someone picks up and says, "Hi, my name is Michael," hey, how are you? And you say, hey, how you doing, buddy? And then you perhaps use the pronoun he, as opposed to ze, zer, she, blah, blah, blah. Well, you can get fired because you weren't being sensitive enough to the fact that this is a crazy person who doesn't believe that, even though he talks like this and his name is Michael, he doesn't believe that he's a man because he read somewhere that he can be whatever he wants. He just has to think it. And there it is. It's magic. So this is going on, and it is cancerous, and it is, again, us just managing our own decline, because we are going to get rid of good workers in favor of crazy ones. And of course, crazy workers cannot last long term. They are not going to help us to build up our economy by any means, because they're not emotionally or mentally stable. That's just the truth. All right, moving on, you guys. I want to keep this topic in talking of crazy people. San Francisco, have you seen what's going on? Well, we've talked about this on the show before. There are black residents who believe that they deserve millions of dollars because they, oh, they're black. There's no other reason. They're black. That's what happened. They haven't contributed anything. They just have realized that in order to receive reparations in a state which never had slavery, just ironically, they never had slaves, and to get those reparations from people who never were slave owners, and to receive those reparations as people who were never slaves, they needed to put together a board to examine this. And they're getting close, guys. And they were able to recently speak at a board meeting to show their support for the reparations plan. And here is what one such woman who showed her support had to say.
It is time for you to do the right thing and provide us with the reparations. Make us whole. Make us important in your lives. Black lives matter. You have an opportunity to demonstrate this today. Do so with reparations and support Ms. Sherrill Davis with the Dream Keepers Initiative. Thank you.
Amen, girl. Amen. So here are some of the things that they're recommending. Again, the draft for this plan was unveiled in December by the San Francisco African American Reparations Advisory Committee. And now it's been 2 years, and they're going to file this final plan in June. So among the 100 recommendations, they are asking for payments of $5 million to every eligible Black adult. They also want the elimination of personal debt and tax burdens, guaranteed annual incomes of at least $97,000, but they're open to more. Okay, at least $97,000, but like if they want to give more, they would take it. And that's going to be for 250 years, that guaranteed income. And lastly, they want homes in San Francisco, but they are willing to pay for them. They want those homes to cost $1 per family. Does that sound crazy to you? Does that sound like a mathematical implausibility to you? Well, don't worry about it, because don't forget, in California, Black students are not passing mathematical exams. So what they did was they put together a bunch of emotional people who are very stupid, who are obviously not able to comprehend why this could never work. Who's going to pay for this? They don't have to think about that, because you missed the part where she told you she was Black. So why should she have to think? Why don't you just do? And if you are a white person and you are listening to this show, I have a question. Why haven't you sent me all of your money? I am Black. So if you need me to send you my bank account details, that would be fine. And by the way, if you have a home and you want to leave it to me when you die, I would be happy to trade you $1 for it. This isn't that difficult. I am Black. One more time again, in case you missed it. I am Black. Give me all of your money. That's going on in San Francisco. And by the way, if they pass this through, I'm moving to San Francisco. I don't care. If we're going to be this stupid, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to San Francisco, and I'm going to get my $5 million and my $97,000 at least for the next 250 years. Moving on, you guys, more in the topic of the math, not mathing. We have covered SVB, obviously, the bank that has collapsed. But no worries, huge opportunity for you guys. We're going to be able to bail them out, which is wonderful. I love that, how this works. They take risks. They don't even take losses, obviously. They cash out, and they turn to the federal government and they say, bail us out, because this is going to be a crisis for us, the rich people who invested in this bank and, I don't know, put in place progressive policies in the boardroom. You're not going to believe this, but it turns out that only one member of failed SVB's board had a career in investment banking. Could you imagine creating an entire board at the bank and only one person on that board has any background in investment banking? That is the truth. The rest of them were Obama and Clinton mega donors who cried when Trump won. Yeah, that's the person that you really want being able to decide on the financial future of a bank, someone who is so emotionally unstable. They cry when Trump won. Another member went to pray when Trump won, just took a little vacation, decided that they needed to pray. Only Tom King, a 63-year-old man who was a member of the board, had any experience in investment banking. They also pledged, by the way, on the Woke Brigade to donate nearly $74 million to groups related to the Black Lives Matter movement. Oh, what a shame. I wonder if any of that money went over to the residents in San Francisco who are Black and therefore would have liked to take some of that money. I'm guessing not, because the bank ran out of money, because this is no way to run any business productively. It's absolutely ridiculous and a nonsense to have month-long pride initiatives. But again, as I said, the good news here is it's all going to be okay, because you and I are going to get to pay for it, which is how this always works. The banks are, quote unquote, too big to fail. But you, as an individual, you can fail over and over again. They can increase your taxes. They will make you slaves to all of their various mega rich initiatives. And they're probably in Aspen. They probably took their planes off to Stade, Switzerland as it was crashing and went, oh, oopsie, we got it wrong. Maybe we shouldn't have spent all that money on month-long pride initiatives or pledged all that money to Black Lives Matter. Who cares? What's up, Joe Biden? Hey, we're a bank. It's your buddy. Mega donors. We've given tons of money to you guys. We're kind of expecting a little help here. Could you kind of make those taxpayers pay for what we did here? And they answered the call and they said yes, even though, of course, they're telling us that they said no. Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, who should not have that position whatsoever, she's hammering the talking point that nobody is being bailed out. Yet, actually, all of the financial experts are coming out and saying this is indeed a bailout. The actions of the federal government this weekend to shore up Silicon Valley's bank depositors are nothing if not a bailout. They've announced extraordinary steps that they are going to take to prop up billions of dollars to backstop all of the bank's deposits. That's a bailout, people. Otherwise, it would just fail. The bank would no longer exist. There would be nobody saying we're going to backstop these deposits. That's how it works. But guys, listen to me. They are the experts. They know what's best. They know what to do with your money. Just trust them. Trust the process. If it seems unfair, it's because you're not smart enough to understand why it is fair. You know what it is? You're not smart enough to have an opinion. And I want to tell you, I know this because someone who is smart enough to have an opinion, Sam Harris, recently went on Lex Fridman's podcast and said this. He's been very upset that I have a platform. He's very upset that people listen to me. He's very upset that I have an opinion about things that I can't possibly understand, right? I'm not an expert. How could I know that my tax dollars, why would I care? Why should I even talk about the fact that they're bailing out SVB Bank? Listen to what Sam Harris had to say on Lex Fridman's podcast.
We're swimming in a sea of misinformation where you've got people who are moving the opinions of millions of others who should not have an opinion on these topics. Like there is no scenario in which you should be getting your opinion about vaccine safety or climate change or the war in Ukraine or anything else that we might want to talk about from Candace Owens, right? It's just she's not a relevant expert on any of those topics. And what's more, she doesn't seem to care, right? And she's living in a culture that has amplified that not caring into a business model, an effective business model.
Well, you heard it there. That ends this podcast. This is going to be the last podcast I ever do. Sick burn right there. I'm not an expert. I don't know how I have the audacity. Who ordained me the right to have an opinion? I mean, yeah, okay, it's my tax dollars. It's our tax dollars. But who cares? Just listen to people like Sam Harris tell you what to do. It's very hard for him to understand. It's difficult for him to understand. Why would somebody make a decision not to get a vaccine when clearly the experts who are going to get kickbacks from this vaccine, which is being manufactured, the people that have invested in advance in these vaccines, right, who have placed their stocks basically in having us forced to take this vaccine, they've already told you to take it. Why? I don't understand if this is problematic for you. Why wouldn't you just believe them? Who cares if they have financial motivations when they tell you to roll up your sleeve? Who cares if they're financially motivated when they tell your children to roll up their sleeves? They are indeed the experts. So just trust them. Trust little old Greta Thunberg. She's now an expert too. I know they keep being wrong. And that is maybe the only thing I would say to Sam Harris. the experts keep being wrong. So what makes them experts? They keep telling us the world. Why would you take your advice from Candace Owens about climate change? Well, the experts have told us the world's going to end about 10 times since I've been born. The problem is it just keeps not ending, Sam. So maybe, call me crazy, maybe the experts are wrong. Maybe even us regular folk who are able to think have a right to express our opinions. Maybe we're tired of being lectured by people who have degrees and are so convinced of their own superiority. You see, what Sam Harris is and what these quote-unquote experts are authoritarians. They believe, as I've told you before, that just by being given a degree from certain universities, they have the right to rule over people like you and me. So you need to instead listen to Sam Harris's podcast because he's an expert. He went to Stanford University and he has a PhD. And as we showed you yesterday, the Stanford University students that are shouting down federal judges, well, it doesn't matter that they're behaving like animals. They're the future experts of tomorrow. Respect these university students. Respect them, even if they are throwing things and breaking windows. You should respect the fact that they're at universities, because once they get their degree, they have a right to rule over me and you. And shame on you for having an opinion. Honestly, shame on you for even watching this video. How dare you? Well, let's cut over to what's happening on one of these such campuses. UC Davis, Charlie Kirk, you know, from Turning Point USA, the founder of Turning Point USA, is on a college campus tour. I'm going to be with him on a college campus tour. Next week, we're going to visit three universities. And of course, these future authoritarians are violent. And they're enraged. How dare conservatives ordain to think or speak, especially conservatives like Charlie Kirk, who, did you guys know Charlie Kirk didn't go to college? So he has no right to have an opinion or to even speak. Well, guess what? He went to UC Davis last night, and violent left-wing protesters, your future authoritarians, decided to smash through the windows outside of the event venue. Unbelievable. He tweeted that reports are that some of this group made their way into the building before police successfully removed them. So take a look at this video of your future authoritarians. So for those of you that are listening to the podcast, you can see police are lined up inside of the video trying to just keep the place safe. And you would think, what's going on in here? Well, Charlie Kirk's just going to speak. That's what we do. We just speak and talk about our conservative principles, talk about why we believe in free markets and capitalism. We talk about where we came from. Now they've come up to the window and they're pushing through. And eventually, I believe the total number was that they were able to smash 11 windows. They were not able to breach into the area that Charlie was speaking, fortunately, and the event went on, but not without an officer being injured. I think it was multiple officers, actually, that were injured, which is ridiculous. This is what these are totalitarian campuses, and they are being led to believe that they are righteous in their anger, that they are righteous in their violence. They are righteous when they shut down a federal judge from speaking because he was Trump appointed. And they are being led to believe this because of people like Sam Harris, because of their institutions now holding departments like diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they're either further led and more committed to their anger and their violence by the lack of success that they have in the real world. They're angry. The reason why they're angry is because Charlie Kirk has no right. He didn't go to college. He didn't do what they did. Why does he have a platform? Why is he successful? How was he able to start a $50 million not-for-profit business? He doesn't have their skills or their expertise. He shouldn't be allowed to speak. He's not Sam Harris, right? This is what they think of people like you and I. We don't have a right to think. We should just do. Like I said before in a previous episode, this is an argument for slavery, right? The masters, them, and us, the slaves. And it's positively ridiculous. All right, guys, now I'm going to jump into reading some of your comments that have came in over the week of us discussing narcissism. Lisa Galloway says, it's interesting how even something as simple as loving yourself and taking care of yourself has been twisted into becoming possibly narcissistic. It's important that one takes care of themselves so one can best in turn take care of others. You can give away something you don't have, especially in the area of giving care to someone. All this to say, it's important that you love yourself in a healthy way and take care of yourself so that you can serve others. Absolutely, it's important to look after yourself and to take care of yourself, but that is not an argument for narcissism and self-obsession. And I think what's happened, obviously, over the years is that those two terms have been conflated. And that's why I loved starting this podcast with that comment about even the concept of a selfie, of us holding up and looking at ourselves and taking a picture and smiling and thinking that we look our best. What is that ultimately doing to our psyche? You know, what is the psychology that leads to narcissism? Maybe we'll unpack that in tomorrow's episode. Kenzie Reeves writes, I really appreciate your view on SVB going bust due to the DEI consequences. I tend to have a doom and gloom mindset at times. When I read about SVB initially, I thought, oh, no, the elites are crashing the entire banking system. So thank you for bringing me back to the earth and discussing the dire consequences that come from DEI policy and lack of care and accountability regarding profit. Yeah, my prediction is that because of what happened to SVB, a lot of people are about to lose their DEI jobs. I think that corporations probably are shuttering around the world. Well, not around the world, in America, because we in possibly across Europe. But we know that Eastern Europe and the Eastern Hemisphere is not engaging in this nonsense. They would never be hiring people because of the color of their skin that are ill-qualified to hold those positions. This is particularly a Western cancer that we are facing. And hopefully something like this happening serves as a major wake-up call to other corporations. Lastly, a comment regarding Jeremy's Doors. I basically said that if I pitched to Jeremy that I didn't want them to earn any revenue, but I want to talk about concepts that nobody cared about, that he would have shown me the door and then probably launched a commercial for Jeremy's Door with the door hitting me on the way out. Somebody wrote, Jeremy's Doors, I just spit out my water laughing out loud. You guys really like Jeremy's Doors, and I don't want to give him that idea, so stop talking about it or it will be a thing tomorrow. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like checking your baggage at the airport without a lock. You think your stuff is safe, but how do you know for sure? When you go online without a VPN, internet service providers can see every single website that you visit. They can legally sell this information without your consent to ad companies and tech giants who use it to target you. They will grab your web history, email data, and video searches to create a detailed profile on you and then sell that off to the highest bidder. When you use ExpressVPN, your identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server so that ISPs can't see your online activity. Your data is encrypted for maximum protection. With ExpressVPN, you can browse, download, and game with top VPN speeds and unlimited bandwidth while keeping your identity secured. I love ExpressVPN because it's incredibly easy to use. Just fire up the app and you click one button. Plus, it works on all of my devices, my phone, my laptop, even my Wi-Fi router. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/Candace today. That's expressvpn.com/Candace, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Candace. All right, guys, that is all the time that we have for today. I have some exciting exclusive content, as you know, coming up on Daily Wire Plus. So be one of the first to be able to watch it. We'll be bringing A Shot in the Dark over there, maybe by a different title, maybe by the same title. It's all going to happen in the next couple of weeks. So click the link in the description and subscribe right now. And be sure to come back tomorrow because there'll be a brand new episode. Did you know that a baby's heart begins to beat at just 3 weeks? A heartbeat is a child's only defense in the womb. At 5 weeks, a heartbeat can be heard on an ultrasound. And that's where Preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb.
I was just kind of like, Lord, if this is, you know, if this is the way, you know, let me know. If this is not the way, give me a sign, you know, before I walk through these doors. And I was, as I was getting ready to walk up the steps and touch the doorknob, you know, a guardian angel.
And he just told me, he was like, baby, you don't have to go in there. And he was like, I know someone that can help him.
Just to see the development of a baby that small, and I say baby because, I mean, he had little arms and legs, and I mean, you know, it was actually a human, you know, and to see that and to have that physical and that contact once you look at that, I think it just pulls on your heart a little.
By 6 weeks, the baby's eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. And if you become a monthly sponsor, you'll receive stories and ultrasound pictures of the lives that you helped rescue. All gifts are tax deductible and 100% of your gift donation goes toward saving babies. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. or go to preborn.com/Candace. That's preborn.com/Candace.